Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. David describes God as a rock. This word refers to a craggy cliff. David reminds us that when it appears the world is spinning out of control, the believer can stand above it all when he stands on the Lord. God allows his people to live above the trials and turmoil that engulfs the world beneath. Our relationship with the Lord gives us a different perspective on the trials of life. When we stand in him, we see them through his eyes. And even though the difficulties of life may break our hearts, and many times they do, they still cause our hearts to bow in worship. We find that in Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Job's attitude was this: then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. After all he had lost, he fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job knew God as his rock. We, brothers and sisters, ought to know God as our rock. David said also in our text that God is like a fortress. This surely has reference to the lofty mountain citadels to which he fled when he was running from Saul. David reminds us that the Lord is a place of safety to which the saint can flee in times of adversity and trial. Look at Psalm 57, verse 1. "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me." Our God is the one, brothers and sisters, who brings all these things to pass. To God who performs all things for me. David knew that God was his rock. David knew that God was his fortress. We need to know this. When in the scripture in 1 Peter 5:8, it says that Satan is like a roaring lion. Yet the saint has a place of safe refuge in the day of attack. No matter what Satan would shout at you and yell at you or try to do to you, God is our rock. God is our fortress. God is our place of perfect peace and safety. This is why David could praise the Lord the way that he did. He knew God intimately this way. And brothers and sisters, this is what we are called to know God in this intimate way. God as our rock, God as our fortress. In our text in Psalm 18, it says that God also is our Savior. David refers to the Lord as his deliverer. He's my rock, he's my fortress, and he's my deliverer. The word deliverer refers to one who saves, one who rescues, one who delivers another from danger. This is a word, brothers and sisters, that is filled with glory. You see, not only did the Lord save us when we received him by faith, But he goes on saving us day by day. Day by day, he goes on cleansing us. 1 John 1:7 tells us this, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Brothers and sisters, he's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our deliverer, our savior. He rescues us. He delivers us from sin, from the penalty of sin, and the power of sin. And when this life is over, we will be ultimately saved when we arrive home in heaven. If we can never find another reason to praise the Lord, surely we, the redeemed, can find within us the ability to praise the Lord for his saving grace. Psalm 107, verse 2 tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Brothers and sisters, the scripture says that God has redeemed us. In Christ, we have redemption. We have been redeemed. This is why we know God is our rock. We know God as our fortress. We know God as our deliverer. For Jesus Christ has shed his blood for us. He has made atonement for us. He has made the way. He has made it possible for us to be reconciled to God, to be brought into a saving relationship. And not only a saving relationship with God, but to actually be adopted into his family. Oh, hallelujah. God is our deliverer, our fortress, our rock. In the text, David refers to him as God. In Psalm 18, he refers to him in verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God. This is the word El, E-L. It refers to God as the Almighty God. This word pictures God as one who is over all things and as one who is in control of all things. And brothers and sisters, this is so important to know, that God is in control over all things. The saints of God should surely rejoice in the knowledge that everything that happens is in God's plan and that he is in control of all things, even, especially, when we cannot make sense of it. God is still on the throne. Turn to Isaiah 45, beginning at verse 5. I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace, notice, and create calamity. I make peace, and I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Brothers and sisters, do you know of this attribute of God? You may know of it, but do you believe it? Do you rejoice in it? Do you worship God over the fact that he is sovereign over all things? Peace and calamity, light and darkness. I, the Lord, do all these things. The rock, the fortress, the deliverer, the sovereign one. David knew his God. And brothers and sisters, we need to know our God. Back in Psalm 18, he also says that God not only is my God, but my strength That word refers to a cliff or an unmovable rock when everything else in the world is being tossed and twisted. God forever remains the same. He is always stable. He doesn't change. We are on the rock, not on the rocks. The word rock comes from a root word that means lofty. Jesus is our rock of Gibraltar. He is anchored deep, and he rises above everything. He is unmovable. God tells us, I'm sorry, David tells us, that God is all that we need. We should rejoice in the truth that the Lord God of heaven will be the strength of our lives. None of us knows what we will face as we go through the years of our lives. But we can know that God in heaven will give us the strength that we need to face life's trials and battles, and that he will help us along the way. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. David knew his weakness, but he knew that his God was the rock, was the fortress, was the sovereign, was the deliverer. He knew that God was his strength. David is telling us, brothers and sisters, in the text that God is all that we need. He also tells us back in Psalm 18 that the Lord is our shield, or some translations have a buckler, which means a shield. When trouble comes into your life and mine, sometimes the Lord will allow those things to come and he will give grace. That's why I just read 2 Corinthians 12 to you. He'll give grace so that in your weakness, that his strength is perfected. There's times when the Lord steps between his children and their trials and acts as a shield to stand between his child and the storm that's coming. But that is not always the case. Sometimes he wants us to learn certain things. And he'll take that shield down so that we would understand our weakness. The Lord sometimes is our shield. Sometimes he takes the shield down. But know this, that Satan can only go as far as the Lord decrees. Only in heaven will we fully comprehend the times when God, in his providence, has intervened in our lives and delivered us from some terrible thing that was headed our way. And an illustration of that, brothers and sisters, is Calvary. He was our shield on that day. He stood between us and the wrath of God. When people say that you need to be saved, you know you need to tell people what they need to be saved from. Not a bad life, bad finances, bad health, bad relationships. People need to be saved from the wrath of God. They need Jesus Christ as their shield from the wrath of God. That is why Christ died on Calvary. He bore the wrath of God for his people. Back to Psalm 18. It also says that God is our security. He's called the horn of salvation. The horn is a symbol. Notice, my shield and the horn of my salvation. It's a symbol of strength and conquest. When David calls God the horn of salvation, he's saying that the Lord is the strength of salvation, and that in his salvation, we have absolute security. I believe that we can all rejoice in the knowledge that if we're in the Lord, then we're totally secure in him. He has never lost one yet. And he isn't going to start with you and I. The Lord fulfills his promises. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed, in the last days. What a blessed promise, brothers and sisters, who are kept by the power of God. That's what the horn of salvation is about. He is our security, not we in and of ourselves. He is our security. Because Christ will fulfill the promise that he made in John 6, verses 38-41, which tells us this. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. What a promise. That he would lose nothing. He would raise up on the last day all that the Father had given him. Everyone who sees the Son and believes may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. God is our security. Christ is our shield. Christ is our strength. Christ is our sovereign. Christ is our savior. Christ is our fortress. Christ is our rock. Christ, the horn of our salvation. God is our supply. And this last metaphor, David says that the Lord is our high tower. This refers to the great towers that were built around the ancient cities. From these towers, soldiers could look down on their attackers and send volleys of arrows down on their heads. These towers were usually stocked with ammunition and supplies. When the soldiers ran to the high tower, they were above the battle. They were in a place of rest and refreshment and ready supply. God is the same for the child of God. When the battle rages about us, we can run to him and be lifted above our battles. And find the rest and the refreshment that we need to be able to fight the battles. Surely, we can rejoice in the knowledge that the Lord is ever there for us to run to in the day of battle. Surely, we can remember what 1 Samuel 17:47 says, that the battle is the Lord's. The battle, brothers and sisters, is the Lord's. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. It is no wonder that David praised the Lord. However, we have, brothers and sisters, the very same reasons that he did, and even more. Therefore, let us praise him and honor him and resolve in our hearts that we will worship and serve him in spirit and in truth. And I just read to you part of verse 3 of Psalm 18. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. In this verse, David makes a pledge to call on God and to trust him and him alone for the victories of life. The idea communicated here is that the psalmist is aware of the power of this God, and that he's pledging his life to walk in the awareness of the greatness and the power of God. He pledges to walk by faith and not by sight. Brothers and sisters, that's what the Christian life is about. Moment by moment, walking by faith. Believing God. Believing God and what he has said. David knew that his faith in the Lord would result in his ultimate victory over his enemies. Surely there had been times when David was on the run that he thought he would be captured and killed by Saul. But God had proven greater than his enemy at every turn. David knew that if God could do it yesterday, that he could be counted on to do it tomorrow. Let me close by reading verses 4 through 19 of this beautiful Psalm 18. I'll close with verses 4 to 19. And I will invite you, my friend, if you do not know this God, that you would come to him, that you would believe on him, that you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would become your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your strength, your shield, your salvation, and your stronghold. And then you would realize that he is worthy to be praised, but there's no other name given amongst men where we need to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 4 through 19 in closing. Psalm 18. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Are you distressed today, my friend? In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. Have you cried out? He will answer you. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. God is great. He hears you. Then the earth shook and trembled. Not a little earthquake. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. God is a God of love, but he's also an angry God, my friend. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by him. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around them was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered the bow. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But, can you say this, my friend? Can you say this, brother and sister? But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. What a glorious thought. He delivered me because he delighted in me. and all of those that come to the Lord Jesus Christ, God delights over. God delights over because you have believed him. You believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That is what Christ told the disciples. And for all those who would trust the Lord Jesus Christ that haven't seen. We haven't seen. We simply, by faith, believe what took place 2,000 years ago. And as a result of that belief, God is well pleased with us, and he delights in us. Brothers and sisters, you who are in Christ, know that the Lord delights over you. And my friend, if you never come to Christ, come to Jesus Christ today, and it will be said of you, he delivered me because he delighted in me.